got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes?
Welcome back.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, August 4th, 2023. Enough extended musical interludes. Just kidding. Phone lines are open. Feel free to use them if you are so inclined. It's Friday. We're keeping it light, except maybe not. The local number is 512-248-8252, again, 512-248-8252, and use it if you can, please. If you don't have free long distance, then the toll-free number is 800-313-9443, again, 800-313-9443. So this list, this laundry list of things Stuart Chase mentions on pages 95 and 96 of The Road We Are Traveling, under the heading of Free Enterprise into X, reminds me of X-Men like Elon Musk. We played that clip from Joe Kirby's YouTube channel, Off the Curb Ministries. Mr. X. And so again, just to throw this into one segment, from Stuart Chase's Wikipedia entries, Chase listed 18 characteristics of political economy that he had observed among Russia, Germany, Italy, Japan, and Spain between 1913 and 1942. But who was shaping these things? Who was shaping these 18 characteristics in those places? Chase labeled this phenomenon something called X. Characteristics include the following. This is the list of 18 characteristics, all in one segment. A strong centralized government, an executive arm growing at the expense of the legislative and judicial arms. Again, if you're not familiar with history, these things, A, are un-American, B, were anathema at the time in America. Now, 100 years later, oh my goodness. Yeah, that's just, you know. It's America, too. And generations have grown up under most of these 18 characteristics now in America for many decades, obviously. So, one, a strong centralized government. Two, an executive arm growing at the expense of the legislative and judicial arms. That's bad. That's un-American. Separation of powers was a central tenet. I really like R.J. Pistrito's The Birth of the Administrative State, what it means. What's it called? The full title. Where it came from and what it means for limited government. That's it. R.J. Pistrito's piece over at the Heritage Foundation, The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government. If you're not familiar with the administrative fourth branch, that's a good primer on the subject, especially since he quotes Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State. So number three, the control of banking, credit, and security exchanges by the government. for the underwriting of employment by the government, either through armaments or public works. 5, the underwriting of Social Security by the government, old age pensions, mother's pensions, unemployment insurance, and the like. Again, these things were all anathema at the time. The underwriting of food, housing, and medical care by the government. The abandonment of gold in favor of managed currencies. And, you know, somehow magically Chase writes about this, and all of a sudden all of it is instituted here in America. 9, the control of foreign trade by the government. 10, the control of natural resources. 11, the control of energy sources. 12, the control of transportation. 13, the control of agricultural production. 14, the control of labor organizations. 15, the enlistment of young men and women in the youth corps devoted to health, discipline, community service, and ideologies consistent with those of the authorities. 16, heavy taxation with special emphasis on the estates and incomes of the rich. 17, control of industry without ownership, control without ownership. And finally, 18, state control of communications and propaganda. So, this reminds me of some things. Not the least of which, Senate Report 93-549. The report of the Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency. Remember that? We've talked about that a time or two. And around the same time. You know, skipping forward, there was the, I think it was the President's Committee on Administrative Management in the 30s, talked about the, you know, these agencies represent a headless fourth branch. But then you skip forward to 1973, and you get this report from the Wikipedia entry, the report of the Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency, also known as Senate Report 93-549, was a document issued by the Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency of the 93rd Congress, hence the 93 in the name, 1973-75. Its purpose was to discuss and address the 40-year-long national emergency that had been in effect in the United States since 1933. During the continued emergency, Congress voted to transfer powers from itself to the president. That's interesting, because that sounds a lot like characteristic number 2, an executive arm growing at the expense of the legislative and judicial arms. Interesting. Continuing from the Wikipedia entry for the report. The debate to end long-running national emergencies ended in 1976 with the National Emergencies Act, 50 U.S.C. 1601 to 1651, which rescinded the president's authority under the prior emergencies and established an expiration period subject to annual presidential renewal on future declared emergencies. This is why, you know, we've been seeing that with things like the AUMF for 20 years. Why do we do that? This is why. The bulk of the report is an inventory of approximately 470 sections in federal law that extend emergency powers to the president and the executive branch. And I always like to mention that in the wake of September 11, 2001, immediately after, the week after September 11, 2001, CRS report 98-505 was released, which includes a section that mentions Senate Report 93-549 as legitimizing these powers that the executive enjoys, emergency powers. So, for example, the emergency concept from page 3 of CRS report 98-505, National Emergency Powers. There are various standby laws that convey special emergency powers once the president formally declares a national emergency, activating them. In 1973, a Senate Special Committee studying emergency powers published a compilation identifying some 470 provisions of federal law delegating to the executive extraordinary authority in time of national emergency. The vast majority of them are of the standby kind, dormant until activated by the president. However, formal procedures for invoking these authorities, accounting for their use, and regulating their activation and application were established by the National Emergency Act of 1976. That's a very disingenuous way to spin that, because it was the Senate Special Committee, as the footnote mentions, the Senate Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency. How can we stop this? And it was, it wasn't what we were led to believe exactly. Anyway, from the Senate report, 93-549, from the foreword, we read, since March 9, 1933, the United States has been in a state of declared national emergency. In fact, there are now, in effect, 4 presidentially proclaimed states of national emergency. This was 1973. In addition to the national emergency declared by President Roosevelt in 1933, there are also the national emergency proclaimed by Truman in 1950 during the Korean conflict, and the states of national emergency declared by Nixon in 1970 and August 15, 1971, which pertains to the closing of the gold window and curiously coincides with the 100-year anniversary of Pike's letter to Mazzini. These proclamations give force to 470 provisions of federal law. But listen to this from the report. These hundreds of statutes delegate to the president extraordinary powers ordinarily exercised by the Congress, which affect the lives of American citizens in a host of all-encompassing manners. This vast range of powers taken together confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional processes. Under the powers delegated by these statutes, the president may, and again, I think of Stuart Chase's list. So from Roosevelt to this, all of a sudden, the 18 characteristics Stuart Chase cited, are they all in effect? This vast range of powers taken together confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional processes. Under the powers delegated by these statutes, the president may seize property, organize and control the means of production, seize commodities, assign military forces abroad, institute martial law, seize and control all transportation and communication, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and in a plethora of particular ways, control the lives of all American citizens. So, that's interesting. At least I think it is. And then, if we skip forward to I can get there. the other interesting bit. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll come back to that. We won't wait for that. Let's go to the phones, and we'll do that instead, since we said the phone lines are open. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I got somebody kind of got my name wrong. They call me a lot of different things over here in Eastern Kentucky. Joe, as long as you don't call me late for dinner, Joe Bob, Billy's Boy, stuff like that. But over here in Eastern Kentucky, man, in the hills from Pennsylvania down to Georgia, when you put X on something, that means poison. Like them, yeah,
exactly.
Them dang, moonshine jugs. We never had no use for that moonshine because we didn't do no vote hauling for the election. So we just get that rubbing alcohol from the company store. But, I found out when I was in college that X is that chi that some of them rich girls put around on their houses with the, they run around in boxer shorts and T-shirts off campus. But X marks a spot on a pirate's treasure map, too. I always thought that was kind of funny because that's where them girls was at. But I always thought that X in Roman meant 10, so that would be 30% alcohol in that moonshine, but anyway, a tweeter by any other name, still a twit, right? And when you started, I had to look. I never did want to get on them there internets, but because I was reading my Bible, and there ain't no W in Hebrew, and so there'd be a V in Hebrew, and that'd be 666, right? So WWWZ is kind of spooky. But my boss made me get on the internet. He went into debt, got a bunch of that money, that funny money from the federal government to get him a master's degree because he thought he was old enough he'd never had to pay it back, right? Well, they jerked the rug out from underneath of him. He's still in debt. A couple of his buddies did that too, non-traditional students, they called it. But he had me, because he'd never been on the internet, didn't know nothing about computers. He said, why don't you're kind of smart, why don't you look up this for me? I'm trying to write this thesis paper on symbolics. And the first thing that come up on that quarterdeck mosaic was a snake eating its tail. And I was like, whoa. You start looking around at all these symbols around, and it's like you're in a whole nother country. It's like its own language. Do you ever notice on them YWCAs, they got a blue triangle or a triangle? It's like the oldest symbol for prostitution in the world. Kind of looks like a hair pie. But anyway, I always thought that might be a great place to look for some honey traps on them senators and CEOs. You know, find them women that's kind of down on their luck and unattached, and you can make them an offer they can't refuse, you know, and then use them to get some dirt on them there senators and stuff. I went to school with a boy from West Virginia who said when he was an intern over there that they had Rolodexes of all kinds of entertainment for the bigwigs, the CEOs and stuff, when they came to town to rub shoulders with them there senators, and this was back in the 70s. And, of course, that's the old joke about that. My Watergate plumbers, you know, they got caught because they had to go back in, find the really perverted Rolodex, because the Republicans already had all the regular prostitutes' numbers. Mm-hmm. But them blue triangles, man, I just wonder about them, you know. And if you're a fan of that first martyr, Stephen, what the heck is that star of Renfren?
Yeah,
I never
exactly.
Had figured it out. You try exactly. To point to that Israeli flag, and people say, no, that can't be Star Renfren. Them's the chosen people.
We're headed into a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Mentioned the star of Remphan, you know, Acts 7:43 in the King James. Yea, he took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God Remphan, figures which you made. to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Yeah, there's no Star of David in the Bible. There's that other thing, though.
Well, how many versions of there? I sent Joe Bob out to the woodshed to split some firewood, by the way. He had his say. Anyway...
As far as the chosen people, though, I mean, that discussion, I think we point to Genesis 18, verse 18, right around there. Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, for I have chosen him in order that he may command, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, I've mentioned the inclusion of the Gentiles, obviously, that we read about throughout Romans, among other places, and the controversy of Romans 11:25, and then we have the Dennis Prager clip that goes along with that too, as the sort of quintessential explainer. Anyway,
I was just going to point out that seems to be there's this fix. Okay, maybe we got some lag going here.
There's what?
There seems to be a fixation with the firstborn child, and Abraham went on, amazingly enough, after Sarah and, whatever you believe about that, they were both in their 90s when they had Ishmael and Isaac, but he went on to have other wives and children. We don't even know how many. But from the story of Jacob and Esau, the firstborn birthrights can be supplanted by some little bit of trickery. Jacob's name means trickery. So from the New Testament, if we're to believe everything there, it seems to me like the chosen people are those that they have to accept the Messiah, Yeshua, a Messiah, whatever you want to call his name. I don't think his name was Healing Zeus. I think that's a nickname by the Romans that became Jesus in Latin. And then, like Joe Bob said a while ago, there's no W in Hebrew. There's also no J. So it would Jesus. I mean, how do we pronounce the name? I think it's called transliteration. But anyway, the name game can get quite distracting. What my point is I think you've got to be grafted in or adopted in. There is no other way.
Yeah.
Right? There's the way, the truth, and the life. So yeah. Who are the chosen people? If you've accepted Yeshua as your Messiah, the man from Galilee,
the Nazarene.
The Nazarene, whatever name, the bread of life. We can call him all these different names, Emmanuel. We know who we're talking about, and we are aware of his devices. So, chosen people, and I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, would be those who've not rejected the foundation stone, right? The stone that they rejected is the cornerstone of us being the temple,
Yeah, the builders rejected, which I think is sort of an esoteric reference. Romans 9, I've mentioned this before, who's who in the zoo? Romans 2 and Romans 9. And Romans 9 from verse 6 says, "But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who descended from Israel, nor are all the children, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be named." And that's a reference to Numbers 23. It is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as the same.
All right. Well, thanks for coming, folks.
You bet. Thank you, Mike. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after the short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, August 4th, 2023. So, before we go back to the phones, do you support the network? I hope you do. It takes a considerable amount of money to make this thing work, and so your help is essential. This is a listener-supported network, and your help is vital and essential. So if you do support the network, thank you. If you have not or do not currently, please consider supporting the network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, republicbroadcasting.org. And you can see on the website the variety of ways that you can support the network financially. Would be greatly appreciated. We are the network is in, you might say, well, immediate need of financial support. And you may have noticed, I've talked about it a little bit, you probably have noticed the cost of everything is going up. Same thing is happening at the network. So, and the, you know, the network is down to what I would call a skeleton crew, and everybody does an amazing job. Everyone works tirelessly behind the scenes, and, you know, everybody's doing the work of two or three people, or maybe more in some cases. So, if you appreciate the content of Republic Broadcasting Network, please support the network. Hopefully that's enough. And do it, you know, if you have the ability to do it soon, quickly, please do that. If you haven't or you don't currently, please consider supporting the network. It's vital that listeners support the network if the network is to continue. So that's probably enough of that, right? I think. Please support the network, and your support is greatly appreciated. As I always say, this is a listener supported network. There's probably not going to be a Ford Foundation grant to Republic Broadcasting Network anytime soon. Especially not if we're talking about Senate Report 93-549, or if we're talking about the Reese Committee, which, you know, in a sense might be, we could consider the Committee on the Termination of the Large Endowment and Foundation. So, anyway, please support the network. Thank you for your support. Back to the phones. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Brian.
I think that Julianne Romanello messaged me back that sometime in August she'd like to come on, so I've sent her a message, you know, pick a date, and we'll see if we could pull that one off. And last time I called, I mentioned a guy named James Scott. Standard Spelling. He is on Facebook, and he knows a bunch of mutual people that I know. And I mentioned I failed to mention what he's likes to talk about, which is Horizon Policy and Biodigital Convergence. He is interested in coming on your show, and 21 hours ago on his Facebook page, he put up a meme. It says, Israel is at the very heart of both biodigital convergence and the communitarianism drivel. So he is trying to utilize this communitarian word. Lark didn't like the use of the word drivel. But I have to try and reward people that are not afraid to point out this country in the Middle East. And 12 hours ago, he writes, I'm not anti-Semitic because Israel is spearheading biodigital convergence. No reason to be upset with me if you don't like Israel spearheading science. And then he puts up 15 links, all indicating that farming, medical, legal, it's all, you know, Times of Israel and a variety of other articles. And he concludes it with, I could list 100 other articles that would probably lead you to believe four or five countries are at the forefront of biodigital convergence, but Israel intelligence seems to be spearheading it with horizon scanning. I'd love to understand why I'm anti-Semitic, because I actually research. So I'm going to conclude the call with, I'm going to ask you if that's enough of an enticement that I could invite him on and we could see if we could schedule it.
Sure. Yeah. You know, maybe the conversation is finally breaking out. You know, you're not, I mean, the term anti-Semitic is disingenuous. Obviously, it's a term of art that is used to sort of throw people off the trail by guilting them for making observations, not saying that, you know, there's a difference between saying, hey, it looks like these people are involved in something, and saying, get those people. There's a difference. And, you know, to observe that people are involved in things, and that, you know what, sometimes there are conspiracies. People who aren't familiar, James Corbett just re-released his Meet Zbigniew Brzezinski conspiracy theorist video that he put out 10 years ago. And it's funny how he goes down this list point for point. You know, the term of art conspiracy theory, and basically proves that Zbigniew Brzezinski is a conspiracy theorist. And but, you know, he is among those who weaponize the term conspiracy theory to marginalize and discredit those who make observations. And so,
well,
you know,
I would just,
it's, yeah, to make observations is not a bad thing. And that's kind of, I think, what Mike and I were talking about. I have you to thank for the Dennis Prager clip that we play from time to time, his explainer. You know, and how did he say it? That's not a what? That's a description. I forget how he put it. But he's the unimpeachable guy to say that, and he's absolutely right in what he said. So I appreciate that clip a lot. And people need to understand, you know, beyond what he said, there is, I would say, a spiritual connotation to that that really centers around Romans 11:25, I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, brethren, that a partial hardening of the heart of Israel has happened until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So for us Gentiles, praise God. But what does that mean? What does that imply or portend if a partial hardening has happened? And Dennis Prager explains it. They have this obligation to make the world a better place, but if you do it apart from God, how do you do that? And that's what he's talking about.
As to the anti-Semite label, I think that our opponent is actually encouraging that. They're building the bonfire of an anti-Semitic response. They love to be the victim, and they're behind a fair amount of this bashing that goes on, and it's integral to their success. They have to be persecuted. It's not just Theodore Herzl 100 years ago, but it's right up to the present day.
But just to sort of explain, I think if I understand what you're saying, speaking of Herzl, you know, we're talking about what I would call political Zionism. And, you know, Pike's letter to Mazzini talks about this concept of political Zionism being weaponized to foment a clash of civilizations, to use Huntington's terminology and others. But basically, there's a sleight of hand going on, and it is that this term of art, anti-Semitism, is used to throw people off the trail of the political Zionists who are doing bad things, and people who investigate see, oh my gosh, the Zionists are behind all the wars and conflict and dehumanization and all this kind of stuff. There's a Zionist under every one of those rocks. And if you investigate the etymology of the term anti-Semitism, it means etymologically that you are against Shem's people, Shem and his people. It's anti-Shem. You're an anti-Shemite. You don't like Shem. You don't like his descendants. Well, if that's the case, then if you go back to Genesis chapter 10, it's a curious trip down the family tree when you realize, I go there real quick. So after the flood, you have Noah, you know, and Peter reminds us that eight made it out of the flood. There was Noah and his wife and their three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives. So that's eight people. So after the flood, you have those eight people. Genesis 10 is the descendants of Noah, and the Tower of Babel starts. But chapter 10 starts, now these are the records of the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. And the sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tyrus. Now those are interesting names. Historically, you look forward in the Bible, places like Ezekiel. What's going on with this group of folks? The sons of Japheth. The sons of Gomer, who was Japheth's son. Sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarma. That's interesting because we hear that the majority of folks who identify as Jewish are what we call Ashkenazi Jews. And Ashkenaz was the grandson of Japheth. Now we read about sons of Ham and the sons of Shem. And Ashkenaz is obviously not among Shem's descendants. Ashkenaz was Japheth's grandson. So right there you have a problem. If I'm talking about Ashkenazi folks and I say, I don't like that guy, I'm not anti-Semitic because that's not a descendant of Shem, primarily. If you're identifying as a person who is in Japheth's family tree, you're not a direct descendant of Shem. And then there are the other folks, Sephardic Jews. These are the two predominant groups according to, you know, the establishment keepers of information. Sepharad is a region near Spain that's mentioned in the book of Obadiah. It's not a genealogical derivation from this group. So that's also problematic. And obviously that doesn't correlate to Shem's descendants directly either. So why is this term anti-Semitism weaponized the way that it is, the term of art? It's a curious thing. And if we could just explore that for a minute, then you kind of say, yeah, why is this term being used? I'm not anti-Semitic. I like Shem's people. You know, that's the lion of the tribe of Judah descends through these folks. So I'm obviously not anti-Shem. So it's a term of art designed to throw people off the political Zionist trail.
So the last break coming up, I would conclude with, yeah, people should support the network because Stephen Whitener on Saturday morning took the Farron slot for 2 hours, and he's agreed to have Adam Green on, and No More News, who has an interesting perspective, and it's balls in Adam's court if he's willing to come on, but I'll just conclude with that. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brian. There, you know, that would be interesting. Does Adam do anything that's not conflict-based? I don't know. Just saying. Back to the phones. In the interest of time, yes, please. Thank you. Lynn in Maryland. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris out there in the West. It is so good to talk to you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. And it's good to hear Brian as well.
God bless you.
And I just thank Mike of Kentucky. I just sat here and chuckled. I needed that list. Mm-hmm. Actually, when it comes to symbols, on Crossroad or Crossroads. It may have an S on the end, and the extension is .to. She used to have a good list of symbols on her website. You know,
Barbara Aho, right, I think? Isn't that Barbara Aho? I think it's Barbara Aho over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the other website I used to really love. And it, you know, it's not real glitzy or anything. And I don't know how up to date it is right now, but it's Jesus is Lord. And there is a dash between each word, all lowercase. Mm-hmm. Jesus-is-lord. .com. And actually, you can get a PDF copy of the 1611 AV on her website. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I thank you for reminding me of Fred and his dirt bath.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing. I don't have an answer to that one. There are other things in the Bible I don't have an answer to. And it's like, that's okay. I'll just accept, Lord, at your word. And when you give me scripture that, you know, when I get one of those, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Usually, those are I call them the wow and duh moments where you go, wow, that is so profound. And then a moment later you go, well, duh, that's common sense. It's amazing. Uh-huh. That's been my experience, and it's always funny how that works.
And it's always scripture that does it because it's getting worse. Things are getting a little odd and beyond. You know, like
a
preacher who just absolutely knew what he believed a year ago and was against, like, you know, the Jim Markell rapture thing, you know, we weren't appointed to wrath, we're all raptured out of here. A year later buys it all. And
I'll give you another example.
What?
Yeah. Another example that I heard recently was, I was encouraged to listen to Elisa Childers' review of the Barbie movie. I listened, and at the end, she includes her 10 resources. I was sort of poking fun at that kind of stuff earlier today. My list of 10 resources for, you know, whatever is the Bible, the Bible, the Bible.
The Bible, 1 through 10. Bible. Well, and actually, it brought me to Isaiah 57 when you brought up Fred. Can I read the two verses, 1 and 2?
Yeah, please. Please.
The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think it's in, it's either Psalms or Proverbs, but you know, when we're dead, we don't know. We're asleep. We don't know what's, you know, we know nothing.
Yeah.
Thank God, because I don't think I'd want my parents to be watching this. You know, I thank God that they're not having to face this.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I mean, what's going on? I mean, like the people in Niger, I mean, you can't figure out that when your military takes over that you're going to be just like Molly, and you're going to have Wagner Group come in and help you along. Come on, you're going to have East to West in Africa covered with that now. That whole row right there. Don't do that. People elected us.
That.
You know,
and
let's remember in our prayers the mother and daughter that were kidnapped in Haiti because they're asking a ransom for them, and they were in a, but it's not CAM, it's not the same missionary group, because CAM got out of there when they got their missionaries back, but it's a medical missionary group, and the husband is still there, but the daughter's only 10 years old, I think, that the gang, I mean, Haiti's really bad, the world's going to pot here, you know, I mean, we need Jesus Christ. You know,
Amen.
We don't need to argue over Semitism. And in fact, last week on Friday, there was a Council of Jewish something or another talk because they did change, beginning the changes in the Supreme Court in Israel. Believe me, I got on the phone and called and left a message because it was in the afternoon. So, you know, preparation day, synagogue isn't open. But I left a message for the secretary at the Shabbat. In my area, because the next thing that they're going to change in Israel is they're going to go after the Orthodox Jews because they hate the fact that they don't serve in the military. So, you know, One was
you mean there's there are people out there that are not Zionists? What?
Pardon me?
Oh yeah, I said you mean there are people out there that are not Zionists?
I hate it, hate it. But you know, Israel is not free and it's not a democracy.
No.
And that's the reality. And the only thing that people have going for them is the Supreme Court. So once they've done that, it's a total right-wing dictatorship, which it already is if you're a Palestinian. So, you know, I mean, you know, it just is what it is. But we're to pray for people. You know, most of this world now is now under a dictatorship, and we are well on our way. You read it today.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I just thank you. I can't thank you enough. And talk about the Bible. Look at all these filament Bibles. You know, so now, you know, they've got, you know, little connections to your iPhone, so you can just tap the word, I guess, and then come right up on your phone. Well, that's like, you know, a PDF textbook on your tablet, you know, so you can change the content on the whim, and people won't know it. So
exactly.
We need to know. We need to know the Word of God.
Get an analog copy, and then... You know, I have written your word on my heart that I might not sin against you. That's where it should
really
go.
And index cards. And memorize it. Memorize Psalm 1.
Yep.
It actually covers it all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Who's going to stand in the congregation of the righteous? Because the Lord knows the way of the righteous. You know, mm-hmm. He knows us. If we know Him. And actually, if you listen to Jeremy's show on Wednesday night, pray for the fellow that called in. You know, because he's lost his faith. And, you know, we need to remember salvation involves repentance. We are, we are saved from our sin. That's what grace is all about. Not in the next life, right here, right now. We can be saved from our sin. We don't have to live in sin. That's why he died for us. Jesus gave his blood. He's God, and He loved us. He loves us. And, you know, okay. You know what? Add to your list of books, The Family. Don't rely on Netflix. And because I had the envelope written for you, for Julie to address, the whole reason I asked you to order the books was because you'd get them faster than if I ordered them and sent them to RBN and then they went on to you. They cost more, they cost more postage all the way around. And if you order them, I can send RBN and a check for you to cover what it costs you to get the books.
We will make it happen. And now we're out of time.
And you gave me a whole new understanding of brain mapping this week. Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll dive into that more, and we'll talk about the books too. So that's it. We're out of time. Thank you, Lynn. Lark, sorry we missed you. Obviously, folks, that'll do it for the week for this broadcast. I hope you have a great weekend. Please pray for one another. Please support the network. Hope it was edifying and informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.